That's good. There's plenty of cricket news going on, but we've got a cricket person to talk to.
Not just any cricket person. He is awesome. Adam Collins is our man over there in the UK. Does it better than anyone on the planet. And he's back with us on The Breakfast Club. Collo, welcome back.
Hello, Harf. Good morning.
Great to be with you. A fair bit to talk about with you. I want to start with the big news overnight from the English camp. That Jofra Archer is out of the summer. He's out of the rest of the year. He's been put on ice because he's got an elbow problem, has he?
Yeah, it's really disappointing. this is not the first time that Archer has had to miss cricket due to this elbow. It's happened repeatedly over the last 18 months or so. He had surgery earlier in the summer over here, thinking that he might get back in time for possibly the end of the India series, but more realistically, the T20 World Cup. Well, that's not going to happen, and he's missing the Ashes as well, and that's so desperately disappointing from the perspective of wanting to have a, you know, sort of a competitive Ashes series. England are probably going to battle in Australia on the basis that they've got a fairly fragile batting lineup anyway, so they're going to need to have a fearsome bowling lineup, and on the evidence of what we saw in 2019, Archer could be that, but in the absence of him, and Ollie Stone is out with a back stress fracture at the moment, they look quite depleted, and as though they'll be probably, depending on the duo of Broad and Anderson, as they have for the last four Ashes series, and look, as high-quality bowlers as they are, Jofra Archer brings something different, being able to bowl as quickly as he can, so, yeah, massive blow for England.
Huge blow. It was big news last night when it came out. Was he overbowled? There's been a bit of conversation since, just the socials that I've been following, Collo, that his management hasn't been handled very well from within the camp. Is that one of the concerns?
Look, that's a tricky question to answer, to be honest with you. Look, there was, as soon as he started touring as an England player, so not at home but away from home, in 2019, they went to New Zealand and he bowled 42 overs in an innings. That was the most overs he ever bowled in one stretch. And look, he was overbowled there, and there was some criticism of just how quickly he was bowling compared to what he had done at the World Cup and the Ashes that preceded that tour. And look, it's difficult to draw a causation from that, but it is correlative. But as the pressure heaped on his shoulders to bowl quicker and quicker, these injuries have started to pile up. So look, it's hard from the outside knowing that emphatically, but you can kind of, if you want to, put two and two together and get to four on that measure.
Collo, just on the whole thing around the Ashes tour and the talk coming out of England that there's a chance they won't tour, is that legitimate or is that just some scuttlebutt that's sort of just been floating around by some former English players?
No, they're serious. If they can't bring their families to Australia, they're not coming. They're not coming. If the families, but the thing is, the families will come because the federal government are not going to allow a situation where these England cricketers and the support staff aren't in the above cap situation. So obviously there are the caps on arrivals into Australia, but then Katie Hopkins got into Australia a couple of weeks ago. Now, if Katie Hopkins could get into Australia, as repugnant as she is, the England cricket team are going to get in. So it's a little bit of like, it's a process that needs to be gone through, and Cricket Australia have been doing that on behalf of the English team and in their approaches to the federal government. But can you imagine the political fallout if the federal government were responsible for the Ashes falling over? So, yes, it is true to say that the England players won't come without their families, but it's also true to say that it'll never come to that. So, look, you know, you could form an argument and arrive at a view that maybe they should postpone the Ashes anyway, independently of caps and otherwise, given the nature of COVID at the moment and the low vaccination rate in Australia. But again, I strongly doubt it'll come to that.
Okay. Now, overnight, I want to talk about the 100 as well, but overnight we've seen India, a rain-marred day, unfortunately, 4 for 125 yep. in response to England's 183. But Kohli out for a golden duck to Anderson. It's fascinating seeing Kohli struggle and Anderson continue to do well.
Yeah, and look, Anderson didn't bowl well before lunch either, and he came out after the break. They got a wicket just before lunch, so England all out 183 yesterday. At one stage, India were 97 without loss just before lunch, and then Rohit Sharma out on the hook. I don't know how many times in the last year or so in Test cricket he's been out in that fashion, but that was the catalyst for a 4 for 15. And two wickets in two balls for James Anderson. Pujara and Kohli in consecutive deliveries, two beautiful bits of bowling. But yeah, that rivalry between Kohli and Anderson now stretches across three series in England. In 2014, Kohli could not play Jimmy. In 2018, he showed utmost respect to him, and Anderson never actually got him out, and they were the two sort of best players for their nations in that kind of gripping series, really. It was an excellent series, and Kohli made runs, Anderson took wickets, but they were that Anderson never defeated him. And then today he gets him out first ball. So, look, it's going to be a great stoush over the next 7 weeks between those two. And Coley was clearly gutted when he walked off. Obviously, he wears his emotions very much on his sleeve as a cricketer. And Anderson was as fired up as I've ever seen him. So, yeah, there was a brief moment where the day threatened to explode. And the shame was that it started raining about 20 minutes later and they only got back on for, in the end, in quite ridiculous circumstances. They got back on for one ball. Then there was another half an hour delay. Then they got back on for two balls. And then they called the whole thing off. So James Anderson's over could... And I think he started the over before all of the first delay. So his over will be completed across four different sessions. It's and maybe 3 days because tomorrow it could rain as well. It could be a washout at Nottingham tomorrow.
Now, Colo, you hold Jimmy Anderson to pretty high standards. You said he didn't bowl well. He bowled 13 overs and he had 2 for 15.
Yeah, I know. It's funny, isn't it? You look at those numbers that you would say he's bowled the house down, but he didn't. And he would say as much himself. He bowled poorly last night and bowled poorly this morning. Didn't make the play anywhere near enough. And look, if you're a bowler of the calibre of James Anderson and you're bowling a foot and a half outside the off stump, you're just going to leave him on the basis that it's risk mitigation when he's got a new Duke's ball in his hand. So, sure, they weren't going after him. They weren't trying to score off him, but he wasn't threatening them until that spell after lunch when Ollie Robinson got the breakthrough just before lunch. And then, yeah, things really opened up. Then that chaotic run out. I'm not sure if you guys have seen this, but Ajinkya Rahane, kind of the embodiment of calm and cool, as you saw through that brilliant series at home last summer where Rahane took the reins from Kohli. He was at the non-striker's end, and KL Rahul on 57 plays it into the offside, but only 3 or 4 metres from the bat, straight to Johnny Bairstow. Rahane, for reasons best explained by him, comes charging down the track, and Bairstow runs him out by 5 metres. It was kind of from nowhere and against the grain of play they would do such a thing, but yeah, catch what was a pretty exciting hour before the rain came.
All right, Adam, out of 10, the 100, what would you give it?
Has it captured your imagination yet?
Look, I think that when you watch, in practice, it's just a short T20, and you kind of lose yourself in that pretty quickly. So I don't think there's an enormous difference, really, in terms of the way that modern T20 cricket's played. So I don't really have a strong, by the way. I mean, I think... weighed up, the reason why it's a 100-ball competition was to make it into a shorter window. And on average, these 100-ball innings are lasting six fewer minutes than the T20 blast over here. So that's not really playing out, but for what it's worth. So T20 cricket, 100-ball cricket, they're still taking roughly the same amount of time. And the other innovations, principally bowling 10 balls from one end, I don't think has changed the flow of play too much. So, yeah, sure, the graphics on the screen are different. It's clearly been implemented to try and engage fans who may have found cricket inaccessible in the past. You could debate the merits in that. But, yeah, to be honest with you, it doesn't feel that different. It's just another franchise competition. And it's one that really needs to work because in the absence of that working, the 18-team county structure will be under threat because of these payments that are going through from the 100. So it's an extra revenue stream. It's cricket on free-to-air television here for the first time, well, the better part of 15 years. Since 2005 Ashes, we've seldom had cricket on free-to-air television here. So, and it also gives a great platform to the women who are playing in this domestic comp. So there's a lot of pluses to it, but also it's a packed schedule, and it was drawn into focus yesterday. England all out 183, and players like Joss Butler hadn't played a red ball game since February. Sam Curran hadn't played a red ball game since January. And they're turning out for a test match when, even though it's unlikely they would have played county cricket in this window anyway, it does look a bit bung. But 100-ball cricket is dominating the conversation for a couple of weeks, and yet they come in underdone for a test series.
I'm with you. Too much garbage. Let's play test cricket. Ben Stokes, any timeline on his return to the international arena?
Yeah, on that half, last week. Look, it's worth noting that it's not just for mental health reasons that he's taking this break. It's also that finger. And he played half-fit, captaining that replacement team against Pakistan a couple of weeks ago when the first 11 and the second 11 were wiped out by COVID track and trace. And they called Stokes up weeks ahead of the schedule. So I think that he needs to get the finger right first, and then they'll make he'll consider in the fullness of time when it's right to return. I mean, again, we had this conversation with Jofra Archer. From a cricket-loving perspective, let's hope that Ben Stokes is out there. He wasn't there in 17, 18. In terms of competitive balance in this series, we know how hard Australia can be to beat at home, especially when it comes to England. We haven't had a competitive Ashes series since 82-83, really. There was a lopsided series when England won in 10-11, but you've got to go back a really long time for a ding-dong battle in Australia between Australia and England. And I mean, I quite enjoy that. It's one thing to enjoy seeing Australia beat England, but look, at perhaps Australia beating England in a close stoush would be even better, and it doesn't feel like that's the most likely scenario, and less so again if Stokes doesn't get up. But yeah, I think that when they were talking about his indefinite return, that they certainly weren't suggesting that he was going to be out for months and months and months. It was more that he's going to miss this series and get himself right, and away he'll go later in the year. Remembering, of course, that he'll be part of that T20 World Cup campaign in October and November as well.
It's a fair bit happening in the world of cricket, let alone the Aussies tour of Bangladesh, which we don't need to get too deep into now. But you're a great man. We love chatting to you, mate. Hope all is well over there. Look after yourself. We'll chat soon.
Thanks, guys.